talking today with Chandler Gould of the National Association of Wheat Growers here at the Commodity Classic in Orlando. And Chandler, talk a little bit about some of the issues going on in wheat right now. Obviously, you know, we're dealing with some tough economic times and trying to deal with some trade agreements, get those negotiated. But what's going on right now in the wheat world?
Well, you know, we did have a good announcement come out today from the administration and the World Trade Organization that they have found in favor of the U.S. that the Chinese are internally subsidizing their rice and wheat markets above levels that are acceptable for the WTO agreement. So that's a very big positive for us. As we also know, though, WTO, that is still a 2- and 3-year process. So the fact that we've won this first round, it's a good sign that we'll most likely win the rest of them, but that's still drawn out and doesn't fix our immediate need and impact for making sure that we maintain international markets like China and Japan.
Yeah, I know that NOG and the wheat industry itself has been a major instigator in getting that WTO decision made.
Most definitely. You know, we were one of the first ones that started to work with the previous administration to get it started, and then we were very pleased when the Trump administration continued it forward. We have estimated that the Chinese internal subsidy programs has cost the average U.S. wheat farmer about $640 million a year. This has been going on for multiple years now, so we are already in the billions of dollars of how much revenue we've lost. So this is a good win for U.S. wheat growers. This is a good win for the U.S., and we are glad to see that the WTO is finally taking a stronger stance against China.
Yeah. So you said that process is going to take on another, you know, three years or so. So what's kind of the process and what? How does that work?
Well, most likely China, though they haven't announced it, will probably appeal, which then means the WTO will have to put an appellate body together. There is a little bit of a backlog at the appellate body, so that's what could draw that out for another year and a half or 2 years. But then once that decision comes through, then they'll have a certain amount of time for them to change their internal policies in order to comply with the WTO, and then we'll move on from there. So that's kind of how I'm getting the 2 to 2.5 year time frame.
So China, though, is becoming pretty infamous for not necessarily always abiding by WTO decisions. Do you expect change to come from China after this?
You know, with the pressure that the Trump administration continues to put on them, which has also had some negative effects on wheat, we've sold no wheat to China last year. We haven't sold any this year. We continue to lose market share in Japan. I don't know if it'll definitely cause a permanent change in the way the Chinese government continues to work with their commodities, but this is at least a step in the direction of showing them that if they're going to be a member of the WTO, they're going to have to abide by their rules.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect President Trump to force their hand at that as well?
I do. They've been very, very supportive of this case from day one, and I think this is another good win, not only for, again, the U.S. wheat growers, but also for the Trump administration.
Yeah. So just talking very quickly, as far as other trade agreements go, you know, we've got USMCA that's being up for up for consideration right now by Congress. I know a lot of groups have come together to really pressure Congress to get that ratified.
Yeah, USMCA is definitely very important for the wheat growers. You know, there were two major things in there. One, Mexico is one of our largest export markets for U.S. wheat. And then two, we also had a regulation change, you know, that we used to when wheat would go across the border into Canada from the United States, regardless of what class it was or the quality it was automatically downgraded to feed wheat. That has been fixed in this agreement, so once that is passed and Canada changes their rules, we'll be able to ship wheat back and forth because we treat their wheat just as we treat our own. So that was a big fix on that side, but Mexico, again, being one of our largest buyers, it is important that we get USMCA through the halls of Congress, both on the House and the Senate side.
I think the last time we talked, we had mentioned the issue of glyphosate, and we had made some progress on that case. Where does that stand right now?
We have. So the case that the National Association of Wheat Growers, along with the corn growers and about 20 other organizations is leading, has actually come to what's called a stay. So they were waiting on two other cases out in California that were in state court, both of them dealing with compelled speech, so forcing someone to say something that necessarily is not fact or true on a label. One of those cases was the City of San Francisco and the Beverage Association. They wanted them to put on their products that drinking sugary drinks may cause X, Y, and Z. The state government found in favor of the Beverage Association, saying they did not have the right to force them to put that type of label on them. That is the consumer's choice to choose to drink those products in whatever amount they want, which is a positive win for us because we're in the exact same type of situation against Prop 65, which has been a very problematic piece of legislation in California since the 80s. And so since that San Francisco lost in their case, we're now waiting on the Berkeley case, and then hopefully our case will be able to come back up. And right now it's looking very positive through the judicial system.
And final question for you. We recently got the new farm bill. Did we get everything that we wanted for the wheat growers?
You know, I think what's most important during this time of economic hardship and just budgets is we were able to maintain status quo. You know, we were able to maintain a strong crop insurance program. The fact that our producers will be able to switch between ARC and PLC, I think, is a very important choice. And the fact that you're not locked into one of those programs for the full 4 years. The fact that we were able to fund MAP and FMD, which is very important for us, especially during this time of uncertainty and trade, to be able to go into those foreign markets and either build out what we currently have or to build new markets to replace some of the international market shares that we've lost. And then there was a lot of changes to the conservation title. We could probably do another whole interview on the pros and cons of it and how that's going to work. But overall, we were pleased that we maintained status quo and added some flexibility to our risk management tools.